welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Blair Oaks Falcons. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Greg Jackson of the News Tribune, and before Greg and I start to discuss things this week, let's listen to a little bit of Greg's conversation with Blair Oaks head coach, Ted LePage.
Well, Coach, let's take a look back at last week's 63-6 win against Southern Boone. What were some things that jumped out to you on film from that game?
I think the way we rushed the passer. You know, we had one sack in the game, but the total of our front four, I don't know how many hurries we ended up, but it was over 10, you know, where he just threw the ball away. So I thought that was the first thing that jumped out on film. Second thing was the ball movement on offense. We had so many different people carry the football or throw or catch the football, and I thought our execution was good at the point of attack. And special teams, I thought we were good at, you know, in some areas, the kickoff coverage, our kickoff return, when they get an onside kick to start the game, we just got a little anxious for it, something we probably need to look at. And I told Coach Terpstra that's something we need to work on in practices, maybe getting them filled a little bit more on the onside kicks of the front line, just work on it.
Really, when you take a look at that, I mean, you know, they recovered the onside kick to start the game. They scored a touchdown. That's only the second time all season you all have been at a deficit. The other was California. And really, much like the California game, I mean, you all just kind of turned it around and got things going, not only offensively, but the defense let that be the only touchdown they gave up all game.
Well, I think the pass interference gave them some life, you know, in that first drive. And it was just a little late break by our defensive back. He was in position early, and then he got where he got behind and just got a little panicked. So that gave him a little life. But I think offensively, we're senior dominated. Now, I say that, we only have six seniors starting on offense. But on defense, we have only two seniors starting. So when you turn and look at it, offense, we should have that poise, that composure. When you got a guy like Dylan Hare, who started how many ever games in 4 years that he started, he should have a little bit of the balance of, hey, we're all right, let's calm down. We're good shape. And you turn around, you got Wyatt Bonnet, who's now in his third year of, you know, starting 30-plus games. You got Caden Helshue started that many games. You've got Alec Weberg that started that many games. So on the offensive side of the ball, there's really that, I guess, maturity to say, hey, we may be behind, but we're okay. Let's not panic. Where last year, I think we got in those situations, it was like, oh my gosh, they scored. We got to score now. And there was never that feeling from the player standpoint last week.
Finishing the regular season 9-0, I know you're a coach that says, hey, the kids want to be 1-0 every week, but when you add that up 9 weeks in a row, it gets you that undefeated record. How much pride do you all take in accomplishing that on the 2022 schedule and also getting back to winning the Tri-County Conference?
I think when you look about it as a whole, you got to be proud of where you're at. And it doesn't mean you're satisfied at any point in juncture, but you're really proud of where you're at, because to start the season with Maryville and Lutheran North in back-to-back weeks, that's a pretty daunting schedule to start off with. And our players never batted an eye. They continued to work. No matter what happened each week, it seemed like the whole focus was we're in this for the long haul. And that's where I get excited, and that's why I will talk about, hey, we're 9-0, but we're 9-0 because of what we did during the week. And this week, even though we're on an off week, our players are still so focused on, we want what's next. And it's not satisfied with what's there. It's, we're proud of what we've done, but we want the next chapter.
As what you allude to, I mean, no game this week because you all got a first round bye with the number one seed in the district. Does anything, I mean, how much football is really a game of routine? Does anything change with what you all do leading up to Friday night at all?
Great question. I asked my seniors on the bus last week. We got in the back of the bus and we sat down and I went through some deals or, you know, some schedule changes and schedules, and they're like, no, we're staying exactly the way we've done it. Now, we're not going as long and we're not preparing for anybody per se. You know, we're preparing for whatever team we can see in our district, which is the two teams we're going to face. But there's no real preparation. So we've given them, that time to kind of feel themselves out, to let themselves get a little relaxing. But then every time I think we're going to relax, our players come out and they're like, no, we want more. The cold, rainy day on Tuesday was just amazing to me how they reacted, and they want it more and more and more. So I think we're at that point in the season where they can see and smell it, and I really feel like there's no let up.
All right. right, that was Blair Oaks head coach Ted LePage. And Greg, even though it's an off week now for the Falcons, it's still a week where we've got plenty to talk about, so we figured we'd do one of these. Let's start with the first thing. Managed to go undefeated in the regular season, undefeated through the Tri-County. I'm sure those were two goals that the Falcons had when they started the season.
They did, especially when you take into account that they finished third last season, and that does not happen very often
right.
at Blair Oaks. I mean, I think went back and looked it up. This is their 15th conference title in the past 20 years, so
that's not too shabby.
That's pretty impressive. This game, the weird thing is this game had a similar feel to that week, I believe it was week four game at California.
Oh, right. Because
that was the only time previously that Blair Oaks had faced a deficit. And in this game, you know, Southern Boone comes out, onside kicks to start the game and recovers. Goes on and scores a touchdown, took advantage of a third and long pass interference penalty, and then had a nice little catch and run touchdown to go ahead 6-0. Then they turn around, onside kick it again and recover it, but it was ruled for a legal touch, and the referee said the ball didn't go 10 yards. So when you tack on the penalty, Blair Oaks was dealing with a really short field position, goes down, scores, and they have 63 unanswered points to finish that game.
You know, it ends up being just, you know, 63-6, so lopsided. Like, there was, you know, indications that it might be that bad. It did get that bad. But I think it's still helpful from the standpoint of, I think that beginning of the game is just one of those kind of heads up where coaches can look at it and go, hey, we got to be ready for anything at any time from anybody going forward, because you just never know when something like that might happen. Could swing a game that ends up being closer than that. And, you know, we're going to be getting eventually to the point in the season where some of these games are going to be start probably becoming one-possession games, where a one-possession change of possession like that could be huge. So it's probably just, you know, one of those things where, hey, just in the back of your heads, always be wary about this sort of thing.
That was one of the things I talked with Coach LePage about after the game, and he, like, I hate using this phrase, but I use the phrase, it was almost like a punch in the mouth right off the bat, wasn't he? He's like, yeah, I mean, he's like, as a coach, you don't want to have that happen, but when it does happen and you bounce back, you're almost kind of glad that it did happen.
Right.
Just because, I mean, the one thing he said was, look, it was the first score allowed by our number one defense in a long time, and he's like, look, they had a short field to begin with. We made one bad play on a pass interference penalty that was an incomplete pass, and it would have been fourth and long, and who knows what would have happened there. And, hey, they just happened to get a touchdown. Good for them. But if you take a look at the defense, didn't give – I think Southern Boone had five first downs the whole game, and three of them came on that first drive.
Wow.
So, Southern Boone finished with minus 5 yards rushing. It was almost kind of like – I mean, it was almost like Tampa Bay's – offense in the NFL when they played the Chiefs and finished with -3 rushing. They could not move the ball on the ground, so that's why they attempted, I believe it was 37 or 38 passes, just because they knew that was their only shot to do anything.
Sure. You know, it's to the point now where we'll get to talking about the postseason here in a minute, but if you look back on the entirety of this regular season now, you're going to look at it and go, they've played one tight game all year long.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, credit to these guys for what they've done to this point. Yes, now we restart and everything gets different from here on out. But when you do look at the season in its entirety, they've been pushed for moments at games. They've maybe been pushed for a quarter in some games. They haven't been pushed for a whole game since the season opener. So I mean, credit them for, you know, just being dominant the entire rest of the season.
To me, this really feels a lot like the 2018 and 2019 seasons, where really the only times they were challenged were in those season openers against Maryville. Now, to be fair, they were kind of challenged for the first half against Lutheran North. I think that was a 35-0 final, but it was 7-0 at halftime.
Sure.
But yeah, to me, it feels like a lot of those other seasons where they went undefeated, where Maryville, again, and if you look at Maryville had a heck of a season. I think they finished 6-3, but they're still the one seed in their district, because I don't know how many teams would have. I'd be curious to see what Blair Oaks' record would be like with Marysville's schedule. Would they be 9-0, or what would they do in some of those games? But yeah, to me, that just shows that, hey, they came out with a vengeance to win that Tri-County conference title, and just none of those games really were close. And you go back and look, and after week three, I don't think any of us would have imagined that School of the Osage was going to be the second place team in the conference after that game. But I do remember Coach LePage said, hey, I know they're 0-3, but this is a team that could turn on. He knew what he was talking about, because they went on to win 6 in a row after that. So kudos to Shannon Jolly and the School of the Osage Indians. That was a heck of a turnaround.
So as we talked a little bit last week, you know, the way it all played out, your math was spectacular. Good job for you. So as it is, the Falcons end up winning Class 2, District 2. They become the one seed in Class 2, District 2. Sorry. And they, you know, they lock up the one seed, so they're going to be at home for the remainder of district play. First week gets you a bye. So mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things where, you know, everybody's going to have differing opinions on, is a bye a good thing or is a bad thing at this time of year? Well, one way or another, you've got it now, so you just deal with what comes with bye weeks.
I would argue, so one of the things I also talked to Coach LePage about after Friday's game was I did address that, because basically as long as they beat Southern Boone by 13 points, they were going to get the one seed regardless of whether or not Herman, the two seed, beat a Class 4 undefeated Union team, and they in Union rallied in the second half and won that game 21-14, I believe. But the one thing I did ask him was like, hey, what are your thoughts? Do you want the bye? Is a bye week a good thing or a bad thing for this team? And he's like, you know, and you got to remember, Coach LePage is an old school coach. He's been doing this since 2000, and he's like, hey, back when I first started coaching, I was so used to the postseason being like, you know, you play week 10 on a Friday, you play week 11 on that Wednesday. There would be like, it would be like a 5-day turnaround.
Right.
So he was one of those guys that was just so used to that. So when they changed the format to where you only played every Friday, it took a while to get used to it. And he's like, look, under this new format, maybe a bye is not a bad thing. And his argument was the kids. I'll take 2020, for example, because that was the last time that Blair Oaks had a first-round bye. He said, look, when they came back that Saturday after Week 10 when they didn't play, Week 10, he was like, they were hungrier than I'd ever seen them all season. Okay. It was almost like they were mad that they didn't get to play Week right. 10. Now, granted, the other reason I would argue a bye is better than playing a team is, okay, let's say there was an 8 seed in this district. Well, the 7 seed is Cuba, which... Again, that's almost going to be like playing the equivalent of, and not, I mean, not to be a big knock on them, but it's almost like playing a Versailles. Like, are you really going to get a whole right. lot out of that? Your starters are basically going to play for the first quarter and a half, and then it's your backups. Like, are you really going to get a whole lot out of that?
Exactly.
Plus, you have a risk for injury.
Sure.
Now, they don't really have any, other than what we've talked about with Eli Luckett and with Jake Hagner, who had season-ending knee injuries. Outside of that, they really haven't had a whole lot of other serious injuries. I know a couple players might have had some hip injuries, or I mean, again, you're going to have your bumps and bruises. But with the week off, it does wonders for those bumps and
sure,
bruises. So
absolutely.
It's almost one of those things where it's like you go through the motions, you don't take it, you don't go all out to where you run the risk of injuring somebody at practice, but they should be at their healthiest this season heading into that district semifinal game.
And I would be willing to bet that if you went back and really did a deep dive in the numbers, over the course of as many years as we've had the district setups like we have them now, there are going to be so very few 1-8 games anyway that are competitive that I would argue that sometimes it's better just to give the one seed a bye, just because, frankly, it's not going to be competitive in those games anyway. There's just no point in playing them. Now, again, there's always going to be the chance of an upset, but I just feel like sometimes that's just, you know, it's more just another bump in the road until you get onto the next thing, so you might as well not have that thing. So I guess what we do now is we kind of look forward and say, okay, obviously you'll have the entire coaching staff gets a chance to scout your next opponent because Friday night it's going to be, you know, 5-seed North Callaway at 4-seed Father Tolton. So I'm sure everybody's going to get plenty to see about what's going to come out of that game, and they'll have a really good idea for the next week what they've got to prepare for.
That was, again, you know, talking this week, there's no game to look forward to. So that was some of the things I talked with Coach LePage this week about was, hey, first off, what's practice going to be like for you all? And he said that's the first thing I addressed with the seniors on the bus, on the short bus ride home from Southern Boone was, hey, you guys, and he does this a lot with every senior class. Like, he turns to them, it's their team. So he says to them, what do you all want to do? Do you all want to take it a little bit easier, or do you want to keep doing what we've been doing the past 9 weeks? And almost without no hesitation, they're like, let's keep doing what we've been doing.
Sure.
So they're going to go through a lot of the same motions. One of the things I asked them is, okay, what about film review? Because, I mean, do you go on ahead and look at it now like you've been looking at the previous 9 weeks, or do you wait and see who wins? And he's like, we still do like our 25-minute film sessions. We do 13 minutes on one team, 12 minutes on the other.
Okay.
So obviously, you know, one of those 13 or 12-minute segments are going to be for a waste because you're not going to play that team.
But, right.
And then I asked him, I was like, okay, what are y'all doing on Friday? Because this will be my third time covering Blair Oaks where they don't play in that first round game. You know, 2016 they didn't have a first round game because MMA did not want to play in the postseason. We didn't find that out until about week 2 or 3, so they had a first round bye. And what they did was they piled all the kids. Terry Walker was the Blair's coach then. Piled all the kids on the bus, and they went and watched who they were going to play. That matchup of who they were going to play. Asked Coach LePage, what are you going to do with this one? He's like, look, game day, we're going to go through a lot of the motions. As if it's like a home game, we're going to have like the warm-up drills and everything. And then obviously you're not going to play a game. But then the coaching staff is going to, I don't know if it's going to be Coach LePage or all the coaching staff, but they're going to make the drive up to Columbia on Highway 63, and they're going to watch that game. Because he's like, look, you can watch stuff on film, but this is one of the very few chances where you have an opportunity to actually go and scout that team in person.
Absolutely.
And he's like, that's how I got in the game, was being a scout coach. So
yeah.
That's something he said I'm definitely going to take advantage of and see what we can get out of that.
Yeah, and I do think, too, that, yeah, as technology's gotten greater, as we've gotten along in the process where now everybody's got game film on Huddle and stuff, yeah, it is better. You do get a chance to look at more teams than you used to, a little bit easier than you used to. But yeah, there's no substitute for getting out there with your own eyes, being able to see it, being able to see this whole scope of the field on every play. Because yeah, sometimes you'll look at some of that footage on Huddle and it's like, well, you get to watch a portion of this play, but you didn't see what ended the play or maybe what started the play, and so you're kind of missing things every so often. This one will give you the best chance you're going to get to, one, see exactly what you want to see as a coach and as a coaching staff.
Yeah, and it gives you an opportunity to, if you look at the film on Huddle, a lot of those plays are it's short clips where it starts maybe a second before the snap, and then it ends like a second after the play is over.
Yep.
So now if you see it in person, you get to see some of those tendencies between plays.
Sure, all the pre-snap stuff that goes on.
It also gives, I don't know what the rules on this are, but I would assume if Blair Oaks wanted to, maybe they'd be able to set up like maybe an end zone camera if they so chose to. And there's a big difference between seeing film from the sideline versus behind one of the end zones, because if you have it behind the end zone, you could see the gaps and formations and whatnot. Again, I don't know what the rules are on that, but if it's something they're allowed to do, I would imagine maybe they do try to take advantage of that, and it gives you another look on film.
Yeah. We'll obviously deal more with whoever comes out of that one next week when we talk next week, but it is worth noting that actually, you know, for a 4-5 game, sometimes you'll see some sloppy records or some not so great teams. I mean, both teams are coming in with pretty good records in this one. You know, Father Tolton sitting at 7-2 and North Galloway sitting at 6-3. You know, they're both kind of in that 36, 37, 38 point range in terms of the district standings. So, you know, it's a little bit, you know, better than sometimes you'll see in that 4-5 game where you look at it and go, sometimes you get some stinkers of a record. Records in that one. This one looks like it's two pretty decent teams that should be matching up.
Yeah, and you know, if Tolton wins, it'll be the first time Blair Oaks has played Tolton since the district semifinals in 2018 in the middle of that 15-0 run. And I believe if it's North Callaway, it'll be the first time the Falcons have played a Thunderbird since 2001. So again, the other cool part about this is these are two teams that the Falcons don't get to see very often.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's probably about enough for this week. But you mentioned it a little bit in passing. Injuries is always a good thing to get rest of. It sounds like, again, you accomplished by doing what you did last week, you were able to get the rest you probably need, or to get the starters out of harm's way. So that's a good thing. But one thing I also wanted is, this is probably the last we'll get to see of some of those kids that were getting to play some of those reserve minutes, some of those JV kids. Because going forward, yes, you may have a blowout maybe next week or maybe in one more game. But we've probably seen at this point, probably seen the kids that are reserves then, unless we have an injury that pops up where some of these kids get in. But you know, how do you feel like the season went in terms of, you know, getting those guys some snaps and the amount of time that maybe they were able to get, you know, when we came into the season going, I don't know if there's going to be much audition time for some of these kids. Well, they got more than I think we thought they were going to get. How do you think that all went for them as the season went?
I mean, the biggest takeaway I have is, and the biggest question mark everybody had going into a season that didn't matter this season, is what's life going to be like after Dylan Hare graduates and you've had 10 years of the Hares as starting quarterback. Tyler Bax has gotten to play a lot at quarterback this year. I know one of the podcasts earlier where we didn't know if Tyler Bax or Wyatt Meldrum was going to be the starting quarterback next year.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the way they used them this season, I would imagine it's going to be Tyler Bax. It's his job if he continues to improve next year. And he had 89 yards rushing against Southern Boone. He was almost the Falcons' leading rusher.
Okay.
Is he going to be at Dylan Hare's level talent-wise? No, but you know what? It was going to be big shoes for anybody to fill next year. He's going to do a pretty good job of filling them for the most part, I believe. And again, he's only a freshman, so it'll be really interesting to see what his growth is like. into this season and into the offseason and how he picks up the reins in the 2023 season.
Usually we have a prediction point of the podcast that concerns the Falcons. It won't this week, but let's ask you, who's their opponent next week? Who comes out on top for in Tolton versus North Callaway?
This is going to be a good game. I mean, Tolton's coming off, I believe, a four-point win against a Fayette team that is going to be the seventh seed in their district in Class 1, but that's also probably one of the most balanced districts I've seen in the state, regardless of class. I don't know a whole lot about North Callaway. I think they lost the Callaway Cup to South Callaway earlier this year, and the emo is basically Bowling Green and then fight among everybody for second place.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Tolton wins this one by a touchdown. I'll go on ahead and say 28-21.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Greg Jackson, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following Greg Jackson on Twitter at ActionJackson05. That's Action JAXON05. Thanks for listening.